Johnson.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
I was born in a small
town.
Sportsaholics, this is episode number 120, if you can believe that number 120. This is I was kind of torn. I'm gonna say it's the Barry Sanders / Gary Payton episode, only because these are two guys that in my youth that were the top of the sports game. The glove, Gary Payton from Oregon State, originally before that even from Oakland. And, man, just look, nobody talked better trash than Gary Payton. In fact, before I even moved to LA, I actually saw Gary Payton live at Jimmy Kimmel Live. This would have been, I don't know, whatever year he was playing for the Lakers. And then as far as Barry Sanders goes, for the youngsters out there, just go watch highlights. Just go spend 30 minutes. What I like to do, put on your favorite song on one YouTube page, you know, and then just watch the highlights with the sound off. And then, you know, just kind of create your own little highlight reel of Barry Sanders. Absolutely incredible. From Wichita, Kansas originally. Then on to Oklahoma State with Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas. Also played there in the same backfield. Okay, so this is episode 120. And, yeah, so elections happened. That was interesting. And those of you that are new to the show, last week we had on Peter Kalman from the Mises Institute, and he, like myself, did not vote, and he has many different reasons. Like myself, I wasn't going to pick the lesser of two evils. I put the faith in the country, knowing that, you know, whichever of these two horrible candidates win, that the strength of the country, hopefully, within a 4 years, won't fall apart. And here's the thing. And yeah, Trump said some horrible things. Hillary's done some horrible things. Trump's done some horrible things. I just try to stay as far back. I try to look at this whole thing like through binoculars. And what I mean by that is, you know, when Trump says all immigrants are rapists and Mexicans, I'm like, you know what? That he did say that, yeah, but that's like everybody knows that's not true. And so I didn't get hung up on like the horrible things he said, and on the left too, like with Hillary, with the email thing, like that, you're just like, come on, there's nothing there. But it's just God, I'm kind of glad it's over, but starting again kind of now with the protests and having to, I stayed in tonight because I drive through downtown. I don't want to sit in my car till 4 a.m. For no reason at all, because nothing is going to change. And I kind of understand where people in California come from now. Everyone's like, oh, we're going to secede, or we're going to take this thing now. We're going to do straight up counts instead of the electoral. Look, Bernie had the popular vote, and you went electoral to elect Hillary, and now you're stuck with it. Sorry. And I have some sympathy for all you guys protesting all over the country in the streets, but at the same time, it's clearly a direct result of the participation trophy generation. It's like, guys, you don't get a trophy. And this is the real life, real world stuff here. And there's a winner and a loser. It's not always clear cut. In this case, popular vote by whatever, 200,000 or whatever, to Hillary. Whereas the electoral, you know, to Trump, thus him being our new elected president. Just get out. It's not doing anything. You're just like Santa Barbara high school students walking out protest, not our president. Not, it's like you're 15 years old right now. You're 15. Okay. First of all, you can't vote. And, that's cool. I'm glad you're in politics in Santa Barbara. Median home, average $1.1 million. So these kids had to walk. They walked out of high school in Santa Barbara. They said, not our president, not our president. And were forced to walk home to their $1.1 million houses. You know, devastated, you know, just put their foot down, put their Uggs down or whatever $300 shoes they were all wearing and stormed out of Santa Barbara High School. Now, look, that's, I'm painting that with a very broad stroke, but at the same time, I just want people in Santa Barbara to know that you live in Santa Barbara. You're not only preaching to the choir, what's the thing in the courtroom that topographer or I'm going to look it up. The courtroom typer guy. Courtroom typer. What is that called? Stenographer. You're not only preaching to the choir, you're actually the stenographer of the choir that actually is then taking notes and then blogging about them and then YouTubing about them to the choir. That's the level. You live in Santa Barbara, okay? It was probably a 99% blue state, and that's why California wants to secede. I understand that, but when you go to the streets, yeah, people, they protested in New York already. And in Washington and in California already, when on election day, their states were blue. That's the protest. It says we don't agree with the elected president because he's red and we voted blue. Just stay out of, just stop with the traffic stuff. That's all I'm asking. Just don't buy stuff. You want to protest? Don't participate in Black Friday. Look, if you're so angry when they offer up $180 50-inch flat screens at Best Buy in a couple weeks, don't go rush and buy one. Don't spend any money over the holidays. If you really want to make a difference, millennials, start there. Say, you know what, Amazon Prime, I'm not going to order anything from you for 3 months. I'm going to take a stand and you know, put a hurt in the pocketbook of America. Like, that's just a suggestion, just an idea. But anyway, guys. Welcome to the show. That's back-to-back weeks of political-ish. But I found, you know, look, sports and politics, they try not to mix, but they do. I found a Stephen A. Smith who I kind of find annoying sometimes. Sometimes I find him awesome. You know, I'm just Colin Cowherd. I used to listen to his show, but after like 9 months, you know, he's got a certain cadence that everything's just a metaphor for something or an analogy to something else. But anyway, I found these clips. I liked them. I thought they were kind of thoughtful. So I'm going to play one now. This one's from Colin Cowherd. I'm guessing probably from a couple days ago.
I'm fine.
You're very different than me.
So it's interesting. Let me start my show by saying this. I got a million texts, even from my bosses this morning, and they're like, oh, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? And I think I've built an audience over the last 25 years, and I think I've built it not on the best voice, not on the best look, not on the most sports knowledge. I think I've built my credibility.
Sorry about
on,
that, Dink.
I'm authentic. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you hate me. I don't care if my bosses hate me. I'm authentic. And so I think it would be totally inauthentic for me to not spend 2 to 3 minutes on the election last night and what it means to me and what it means potentially to you. So I watched the election stuff last night. Did you notice where all the reporters were last night? Did you see that bureau in Kansas City?
Uh-uh.
Did you see one in South Dakota?
No.
They didn't have a bureau in Montana either, or Indianapolis. They were all based in New York. One of these days, our politicians will figure out New York doesn't decide the president, Ohio does. That's why we love the Cubs. We relate to the lovable losers, who aren't the richest, who aren't the most successful, who aren't the most handsome. They're relatable. Authentic. Relatable. The blue team's out, the red team's in, because they were more relatable in the suburbs and in rural America. Is Trump a concern? I think our republic is built to withstand Trump. What our republic is not built to withstand is a media that the American citizens don't trust. And oh boy, you do not. That was a middle finger to the American media, to the American establishment, to the political system. That wasn't a vote for anybody. We didn't like either of these candidates. It was a vote against New York, against LA, against power, against wine sommeliers. America last night voted for McDonald's and pizza and the Packers and the Big Ten Conference and Judge Judy. On Twitter, Colin Kaepernick's a star. In the real world, Brett Favre is because he's relatable. And Charles Barkley is because he's authentic. Jim Harbaugh orders a milk with his steak. He takes a glove to the game. He goes to wrestling events. He wears those khakis. And he is rolling and relating to regular people. Look about what's popular in America right now. It's not the New York Jets. It's the Packers, the Cubs, Michigan football, St. Louis Cardinals, Big Ten Conference, pizza, not kale salad. The burbs in rural America spoke last night, overwhelmingly. And they said, we don't trust you. We don't trust the big establishment. And we don't really trust the people in power. And we don't trust our government. And we don't trust our Congress. And we're voting you out. Blue team out, red team in. And I watched media last night, and I listened to media this morning. And the political media is disgusted. And they're blaming the public. Man, look in the mirror. Get off Twitter. Colin Kaepernick's a star on Twitter. Brett Favre and Charles Barkley are in the real world. Why did America root for the Cubs? Not the slickest, not the richest, not the winningest. Right in the middle of the country, lovable losers. I live in a bubble on the beach in LA. It's blue territory. But if I got in my car, there's 3,000 counties in America. 3,000 counties in America. I live in a blue county. If I got in my car at the beach in Los Angeles and I drove to the other side of the country, I would drive through about 400 counties. 390 would be red. Our republic is built to withstand presidents. Jimmy Carter was a bad president. Interest rates were 16%. You couldn't afford to live in a home in America regardless. Maybe not even Trump could live in the home he wanted to live in. But our country is not built to withstand a media in the bag for one side, untrustable, condescending, unrelatable, elitist, and out of touch. You spoke, you voted, blue team out, red team in.
I think he hit on a lot of points. And again, sorry to make this another political thing, and everyone, you're tired of it, and I understand. But look, I live in California, have for years, and I've seen no Trump anything. And then when you travel Eastern Washington a little bit, but that's, you know, that's still a blue state. But when, you know, you go back to the Midwest and it's Missouri, and you're just like, it's any Trump is considerably more Trump than California. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, there is all these people. And look, the flyover states, everyone's like, oh, I'll take the flyover states. And I took the cross country flight from Virginia to LA a couple weeks ago and woke up halfway over, let's say, Oklahoma, you know, or New Mexico. And you look down and yeah, it's just easy to forget. And then one day, you know, you just, like he mentioned, the condescending tone. I mean, that's part of it. There's a lot. Look, there's a lot that goes into it. And I just want to say, don't play into the Facebook stuff, okay? Don't. Look, when someone spray paints a swastika on the side of a building and then you repost that and say, this is awful, no shit. It's a swastika. Not only all you're doing is spreading the hate by reposting. Now an image of a swastika just went around on your Facebook page 2,000 times or however many people. Yeah, I just don't share it. Just don't. Like, don't add to the problem. If it's a thoughtful thing, like, another thing, like, the protesters, how many of you guys would be down there protesting if you weren't allowed to take your phones? If you weren't allowed to check in and say, I'm protesting. I'm standing up for something. I don't even know. I saw posts from people that were just like, I'm going down there. I'm not even sure why, but, you know, I'm just going to yell. Like, you don't even know why you're going down there? You don't even have no clue. In fact, you have no idea what you're going to do down there other than yell, you don't have any idea, like, you even posted it on social media, that don't even know, just going to go, just participate, just because that's what a bunch of people following the hurt, like, they're standing up for rights and everything else like this, but, and I get that, and I, there's just no, look, there's not going to be a wall. Okay, there's not going to be a wall. It's not going to get built. Obama was going to shut down Guantanamo Bay. That didn't happen. I'm just saying, guys, it's not. They already pulled the Muslim thing off. I just don't think it's going to off the website, Trump's website. I just don't feel like it's going to be. I hope it's not going to be as bad as I think, as we all thought it was going to be maybe a couple days ago. And I'm speaking for the kind of left in the middle perspective. Those of you on the far right, you're fine. And look, the markets are up, which is awesome. The meeting with Trump went, or the meeting with Obama went great. Trump just, you know, looked very kind of humble, like just sat there listening, thanking. It was nice. I know Russia said some good things, talking to Canada about NAFTA. It's just, we're off to a good start. We just need to address some of the racial inequalities in our country. Find some other way to do it other than marching down the street. And I mean, I don't know if we're looking at a New Deal type thing where all of a sudden we can create jobs, you know, to rebuild roads or whatever. If you can create 1 million jobs that pay 40 grand a year somehow, like, that's going to help a lot of people. Let's just start with that. Immigration, no wall. It's not going up. Let's open up offices and say, hey, you're in our country. Let's just, what's your name? Here's a social security number. You know what? If someone threatens you or robs you, guess what you can do? Call the police now. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be held ransom by some guy who you're working for, making $6 an hour, because we know you're here now. So now you can make minimum wage, which unfortunately is still kind of shitty in some states. Though there were a few that passed the law, minimum wage increases, but it's like 2 years from now. I never understood that. We're going to raise the minimum wage in 2020 about $3. I'm like, well, that's going to be horrible then. It's just not fixing. I don't understand. It didn't really fix the problem. But anyway, I found another clip. I was going to play this to Stephen A. Jackson when I was talking about earlier. I thought it was good, you know, Stephen A.
Did he betray his cause?
He absolutely betrayed his cause.
Let me preface this. This is with the Kaepernick not voting. And I've heard different opinions on this. I don't really, like, I really can't speak because I didn't vote myself. Someone in his spotlight, you figured, probably would have voted against Trump. But he's just so anti-system that he's just said, you know, screw it, I'm not voting for anybody. But Stephen A. Smith's take on
as far as I'm concerned, Colin Kaepernick is absolutely irrelevant. I don't want to see him again. I don't want to hear from him again. I don't want to hear a damn word about anything that he has to say about our nation, the issues that we have, racial injustices, needing change, etc., etc. He comes across as a flaming hypocrite. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not interested in a damn word that he has to say. And quite frankly, I hope he goes away. He's lucky to be in the league right now. And Colin Kaepernick, after all this noise that you made, even though you didn't intend to do so by offending our military servicemen and women, and pointing out about how you wanted to bring attention to racial injustices and beyond this in this country, to turn around and not to even take your behind to the polls to vote for a particular candidate, it is shameful. Absolutely shameful. Him of all people, because of the position he took, because of the attention he brought to the issues, the fact that you don't even have the decency to go to the polls and activate yourself in this election, as our president said, is a damn shame. I don't want to hear another word from Colin Kaepernick. It's a waste of time. A matter of fact, I would personally make a request to the media in this nation, wherever he is, if he ain't on that football field trying to throw another damn incomplete pass, do me a favor and make sure of one thing. Take the camera away from him. It means nothing. Because for him not to vote, as far as I'm concerned, everything he said meant absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't want to hear another damn word from him. Nothing.
Okay, look, that's Stephen A. being, you know, passionate Stephen A., and that's just what he does best, what everyone knows. But let's not lose sight of what the whole kneeling down thing was all about. You know, just the racial inequalities, the indifferences. I didn't particularly, it worked. People were talking about it. I didn't necessarily like his approach to it. Not everybody, it's not for everybody. But now, what, week 9 that we're in now, you know, it's still, I feel like people are discussing it. It kind of, in a way, kind of worked. I mean, people started talking about it. I really like what other people did. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, who everybody hates. I didn't really like him until I found this out recently. You know, did a community outreach in, I believe, Mississippi, wherever he grew up, where it was introducing the police with the local community. It wasn't a setup. You know, it wasn't like, it was a, hey, I'm this person, I'm a person, let's meet, let's talk, let's settle some differences, some things that aren't true, let's talk about some, you know, let's squash some things that aren't true, things like that. That's, you know, one way to solve some of the problems, to begin solving the problems. I mean, which, again, there are a ton of. But, all right, last clip that I found that I liked. This is our man, Ernie Johnson, on TNT.
I felt like I'd been dealt a bad hand. Had these couple of choices. And there were trust issues with Hillary Clinton I couldn't get past. And there was this inflammatory rhetoric from Donald Trump, which to me was incomprehensible and indefensible. I couldn't vote for either one. For the first time in going to the polls for 42 years, I hit the write-in button. And I voted for John Kasich. And I left knowing that John Kasich wasn't going to win. But I left with a clear conscience because I hadn't settled. Number two, I'm hopeful. I watched the video today at CNN on what was going on at the White House with Donald Trump, President Obama. I was hopeful and I was encouraged that there will be a difference between the President Trump and the campaigning Trump. And I'm with these guys. We have to give them a chance. But here's the deal. I just hope that he's all in fixing the wounds in this country and the divides that separate this country. And I want to be part of that too. And for me to be part of it, I have to look in the mirror and I have to say, how am I going to be a better man? How am I going to be a better neighbor? How am I going to be a better citizen? How am I going to be a better American? How can I be a fountain and not a drain? And number three, I know you're not supposed to talk about politics and religion, but we're already talking about politics, and so I'm going to go the R direction too. I never know from one election to the next who's going to be in the Oval Office. But I always know who's on the throne. And I'm on this earth because God created me. And that's who I answer to. I'm a Christian. I follow this guy named Jesus. You might have heard of him. And the greatest commandment he gave me was to love others. And Scripture also tells us to pray for our leaders. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for Donald Trump. I'm going to pray for all those people right now who feel like they're on the outside looking in. who are afraid at this point. Pray for them too. In short, I'm praying for America. And I'm praying that one day we're going to look back and we're going to say, you know what? That Donald Trump presidency, that was all right.
That's what I'm praying. Thank you, Ernie. That's what I'm talking about. It's only going to, you know, maybe 4 years, whatever. And it's, look, we're a strong country. We can ride it out as long as we can keep China off our back. That's, you know, the international stuff, so, you know, is always kind of sketchy. But, look, thoughtful, you know, not to dump the religion stuff on you. That never hurts either. But, yeah, just everyone just relax. Don't spread the hate or either way. Like, don't people with kids. I don't have kids, but I was a little upset because everyone was like, oh, my 9-year-old Sally was so upset that she couldn't even sleep. And then 7-year-old Jacob, you know, was so upset that he couldn't even go to bed. It's like, well, then why are your 7 and 9-year-olds so worried about this election? They're 7. They're 9 years old. You're a bad parent. Like, there's no 7 or 9-year-old should ever lose sleep over any election, because they have no business caring about politics unless you're just emotions. You got to check your emotions sometimes. You know, you can't act like, you can't just spew it all out, hate or love, in front of your kids. They're little sponges. They soak it up. So if your kid had problems sleeping or whatever, was crying because Trump won the election last night, well, chances are your wife or you or your husband or boyfriend or girlfriend may have been crying, and that's maybe why their kid was crying also. But if your kid was crying just on their own, like, that's, you need to look how you parent. You need to say, you know what, maybe I don't get my kid caught up in elections. You know, he's in second grade. You know, maybe if they're doing elections on Sesame Street, like the most cuddly animal. Look, it's got to be Big Bird. I mean, he's got really fluffy, soft feathers. Like, you, maybe you go that route. But, you know, why is your, you just, you can't, they shouldn't care, is all I'm saying. Like, your kid at 6, 7, sorry about that. Your kid at 6, 7 years old shouldn't care about the elections. That's all. Okay, real quick, before we go to break, onelovely.com, onelovely.com. Also, if you're in San Diego, please go to Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street in La Jolla. Amazing tacos, burritos, catty corner from the La Jolla Comedy Store, just like 2 blocks down the street. There's also a Bentley dealership, a Ferrari, Lamborghini spot. But again, Don Carlos Tacos, and that's Eat a Burrito on Twitter. And I think it's eataburrito.com. I probably should know that. And then also, guys, please go to Laugh Prince, LaughPrintS.com. New website we're actually going to correspond with slightly. Put some of our videos and stuff like that up on that website from time to time. So check them out on Twitter and all that good stuff. But guys, all right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this. Jack, say, hey, Diane, let's run off behind the shade of trees. Dribble off those Bobby Brooks, let me do what I please. Say, oh, yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Say, oh, yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. They walk on. Dun it.
Jackets his back, flexes thoughts for the moment, scratches his head and does his best James Dean.
Well, sorry, I was gonna start Diane, and I was like, nah, let me get some more of this song real quick.
Diane says, baby, you ain't missing nothing. Jackets say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone.
All right, now we're back. Again, guys, that's onelovely.com. Go check them out. They're also connected with Union Press KC, which they're doing a special right now. If you go Union sportspresskc.com. I believe you get 12 hoodies, 20 shirts for $350, which is a great deal. Breaks down, you know, per piece pretty cheaply. But it's perfect for like a basketball team or, you know, family reunion, small business, just anything like that works out good. Guys, we're almost a month into the NBA season already, and this is so shocking to me that I wanted to talk about it. The Charlotte Hornets right now are 6-1 and tied for first place with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know it's really early, but the Hornets, man, they're like a new – the Hornets are one of the weirdest teams ever. So when I was a kid – pardon me, hold on 1 second. That was courtesy of Rockstar. Oh, sorry about that Rockstar energy drink. But the Hornets were expansion in 89 with the Heat. And the Magic, if I think, actually, I'm going to check that right now. Hold on. Charlotte Hornets expansion. Let's see, what year was that? 1988. Okay, yeah. So, you know, they were in Charlotte. It was Grandmama. It was Kendall Gill from Illinois. It was Muggsy Bogues from, I think, George Washington. Larry Johnson from UNLV. Adele Curry. Obviously, Steph's father was there for a little while. You know, you got Lonzo Mourning. I mean, just this crazy team that was supposed to contend for championships. Never did. Kind of fell apart, you know, towards the later years. And then obviously they changed their name, or they moved to New Orleans, and then the Bobcats, and then get reassigned to Charlotte, and then the New Orleans Hornets. For you youngsters, guys, Utah Jazz used to be in New Orleans. New Orleans and famous for jazz. Utah famous for Mormons and the Book of Mormon and that sort of thing. So that's where the Utah Jazz jazz come from, if you were curious. And the Jazz also in the Heat and the Magic are one of the few teams that aren't plural. You know, like the Raptors, you know, just Jazz, Heat, Magic, you know, that sort of thing. But anyway, they're never good. So, you know, Kimball Walker now is doing, kind of getting thrown out of games a bunch, that sort of, from time to time. But there's progress there, so that's good to see. I just wanted to point that out, to say, hey, you know, NBA season's going, NCAA season's about ready to get going. Free agency starting right now with baseball. Go Cubs. I didn't say the last G. I said last episode I was not going to sing that song or repeat that song. We all heard the Go Cubs blank song a million goddamn times over the past 2 weeks. But anyway, free agents coming up. Cespedes probably with the Dodgers. I don't like the Chapman's already a free agent. This is one of the things they got to fix in baseball. 2-year minimum contracts. You are not allowed to trade any free agent you signed during the first year of their contract. Thus meaning the Yankees last year are not allowed to trade Andrew Miller and or Chapman. No, granted, Chapman, I guess, was on a one, or he had gotten traded and had 1 year left, maybe. I'm not sure. I think he signed as a free agent. I don't know. I'm kind of talking out of my ass as far as that goes. But the point being, so assuming that they were both free agents, you can't trade Chapman halfway through a contract year to get prospects. I feel like you're cheating the system. And then, so then you trade him away and now he's going to be gone. It's like, I don't want to see the Cespedes in 6 different uniforms in 5 years kind of a thing. You know, that's my only gripe with the free agency in baseball. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of all over the place. And I don't want to be buying jerseys for different guys that I like every couple of years just because, you know, they're free agents in 3 months and all of a sudden they're playing on 4 different teams in 36 months. I just, and I know it's all about, you know, making money and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm exhausted. I'm talking out of my ass right now. So I'm going to do the sponsors real quick and then we're going to go ahead and just wrap this thing up. Episode number 120, a little over 30 minutes. That's not bad. Here's the thing. So I go to Hollywood when I can, meet up with Eric over the phone, preferably in person, face-to-face, when I can. And recently, we've got access to the Comedy Store podcasting studios, which we actually recorded an episode with Don Barris. Unfortunately, the formats do not match up with my software, so we got to figure that out. So we'll be doing some episodes from the Comedy Store, actually podcasting studios, some from our other studio in Hollywood, and some from our Third Point studio here, kind of like our official, unofficial home base. So we're going to be all over the place. Recording is pretty much what I'm saying. And then I kind of compile everything and try to release the episode, you know, most Wednesdays, sometimes, you know, Fridays or whatever it ends up being. But you guys are awesome. I appreciate the listeners are up. Actually, last week, like I forgot to continue to say earlier in the episode with Peter Kalman, most listened to episode all time, shared about a little under 100 times, you know, through Facebook and Twitter and everything else. But listenership is going up and up, and thank you guys for just spreading the word, just saying, hey, there's this show that comes out. It's like the couple comedians, they talk to comics and they're kind of dickheads, but you know, it's not that bad. It kills 30 minutes of my drive to work, or 30 minutes at office, or you know, I throw it on in the morning when I'm taking a shit, whatever. However you listen to the show, thank you for listening to the show. And again, one last time, sponsors Union Press KC. Go buy some funny shirts. They got your friend from college, your girlfriend from college, you want to make fun of them, call them up. They'll design a shirt making fun of that person. You can print 20 of them up, send them out. It'll be hilarious. That's one option. Go to laughprints.com, L-A-U-G-H, Prince, P-R-I-N-T-S.com, and check them out. And of course, if you're hungry, you're in Southern California, San Diego, La Jolla area, please go to Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street. That's right. I think it's 816 Pearl. Anyway, they're amazing burritos. Get the Trevino. It's chorizo and asada. It's amazing. You'll enjoy it. Guys, thanks for listening. I'm gone. I'm exhausted.